This is Maryland Viewpoints, an in-depth discussion of the events and issues impacting our state. Now, from the studios of the Maryland News Network, this is Maryland Viewpoints with Meredith Marks.
Welcome to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we are chatting with Brian Horn and Brian Gracie, advisory representatives offering securities and advisory services through Lincoln Financial Advisors, members SIPC, Heritage Financial Consultants, 307 International Circle. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello. Well, can you introduce yourself, Brian, and let everybody know how you became a financial planner?
Sure. I was actually approached in college by one of my father's friends who asked me to come in and do a summer internship at his company, and just to get a better understanding of how the financial service industry works. I said yes. At the time, I was a finance and accounting major in college, so I thought it would be a good way to get a better insight into the financial planning business. I had an excellent experience, and I really never interviewed anywhere else going back to school for my senior year. It was nice to have that job. So I really went right into it. And then for the first 10 years of my career, I was really on my own as a sole practitioner. And I worked with clients and executives and business owners and other people. But I had a vision that working by myself was not really going to allow me to help a client maybe really how I should help the client. So we started a firm and coordinated our efforts with a lot of other advisors. We formed Heritage in 1999, 10 years into it, with the idea that sharing support, sharing services and resources would help to have a better experience for a client and be able to take on better, more complicated clients.
And Brian, can you introduce yourself and explain how you became a financial planner?
Yes, this is the other Brian Horn. And I was getting ready to go to college, and my father, who was a school teacher in Baltimore County for 30 years, was studying to get his CFP, Certified Financial Planning, exam as a second career. And I started to talk to him about what that was about, and I thought that was very interesting. So I went to Penn State. I majored in finance and economics, and when I got out of school, I went right into the business. So he kind of really got me to start thinking about this career path, and ironically, he now works with us, as does my younger brother in the business. But similar to Brian, I started on my own and was on my own, and then joined with a couple other advisors. We formed a small group, and then eventually we all connected together with Heritage under the same vision that, you know, sharing staff and sharing resources and having advisors that can collaborate together would make us all better advisors.
So talk a little bit about how young people today struggle a little bit in being able to save money. And maybe sometimes people are a little bit hesitant. Maybe they're kind of thinking this is daunting to seek out a financial advisor. And what are the steps that maybe young people can take when they're out of college? Maybe they're paying off some student loans. What can they do to secure their financial future?
Well, they really need to get committed and take action. So not meeting with an advisor or not really spending any time looking at their situation and thinking about it is probably the biggest mistake that people make. So, you know, basic things that people can do are get in a plan where they have a regular savings program, whether it's through your company's retirement plan or if you don't have one of those on your own outside of that. Most people, not just young people, really have a difficult time saving money. And the successful habit that the people that have money have established is they pay themselves first. They get the money going into investments for the long haul before they get the money in their paycheck and go and find a way to spend it.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. A lot of times people think I have to have a certain amount of money before working with a planner, but, you know, there's so many other issues as far as cash flow management, looking at insurances, making sure they have the right estate planning for their family, planning for college. So there's just a lot of other issues besides, you know, having money to invest before you see a planner.
And these days, it's really tough, you know, for a lot of people. Maybe they think, I can't afford a financial planner. Somebody that's thinking that, what do you have to say?
kind of reiterating what I just said, that you really have to start with a plan. And while you may not have money to invest, there may be other issues that are important to, you know, to that person and their family that they have to address first, like maybe laying a foundation for insurance or making sure they have a way to plan for college education, or maybe even helping them get out of debt or budgeting, showing them how to maybe try to afford a down payment on a house. There's all other issues besides just having a lump of money to
and
invest.
What does it usually cost to be able to come and seek advisory services from a financial planner? Not necessarily what you charge, but kind of a ballpark of what people can expect when they walk into a financial planning office and they go, I want to hire somebody for 3 hours to go over my money with me. What can they expect to maybe pay?
I think you see a lot of different service models from financial advisors. You have some advisors who really never charge fees. They come in and they help the client do different things, and then the only way they really get compensated is to have some product that they end up selling to the client. I think there's another model where, like you're speaking of, there's an hourly charge to do work and go through that process. And then there are other advisors who have a model where they're doing planning and they're charging a fee to do the planning, and then they turn around and help the client invest and do all the other things. So I think you see a wide variety of offerings.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going, just so that people that are listening think, you know, if they're thinking right now, I don't have an extra penny to put towards a financial advisor, there are plans for different people and to fit your budget, and maybe, you know, it's worth checking into and not to discount going to one because they really can help you. A hesitation that people might feel is that they're being judged by their previous saving strategies or lack of strategy and don't want to expose themselves to that kind of criticism. Maybe there's a stigma of, I don't have a lot, or my financial plan looks different than what I want it to look, how I want it to look. I don't want to be judged for that. How do you talk to people that feel that way?
I mean, I think it comes down to just having to go to someone and do a plan. I mean, the whole purpose of the plan is to lay out, you know, what the person is doing right, what they're maybe doing wrong, and what changes they can make to really accomplish what's set out for the plan, their goals, objectives, and priorities for the plan. So it's going to be different for everyone, but there's so many things and to think about and look at when we do planning that people just need to go see someone and get the ball started, really.
And the reality of it is, I don't think anybody should ever be embarrassed, because if you really look back, college, high school, they don't do a really good job of teaching people all these different skill sets that a financial advisor can help with. I don't know. I went to school and I never learned anything about budgeting, debt management, insurance, taxes, legal documents. I didn't learn any of that in college. So most people don't have the basic education because they were really never taught it. So they're going to need to get that education from someone. Either they're going to do it on their own or they're going to seek someone out to help them. And I think most financial advisors, you know, we see young, old, and people in the middle that haven't done the planning that they need to and really need to give it time and attention.
You hit the nail on the head. I have seen so often people talking about how they didn't learn how to do taxes, how they didn't learn how to save, how they didn't learn how to budget, or anything about credit cards or mortgages. And schools really don't dive into that. And then, you know, you go out into the real world and you're going, what? What am I doing? And sometimes people don't have, you know, parents, they don't have guidance. And you guys are the ones that can help them. You guys are the ones that they can turn to seek some answers.
And I think also, whether it's someone just starting out and trying to learn these things or someone that's been very successful in their business career and has accumulated a lot of money, that with that comes all other types of issues. And, you know, we see a lot of people that have done really well, but they've never seen a planner, and they have, you know, a litany of issues to deal with and work through.
I want to talk about, you guys have been in this business for a really long time. Talk about the difference 20 years ago with financial planning. We're in a totally different environment now. We're in a totally different world. And things have changed drastically with our environment and economic system. And how do you see a change? And is it, I mean, have you ever sat and thought in your career, I'm kind of scared for how our world is going right now? Because it can be scary at times.
Well, there's always uncertainty, but I've been now doing this 30 years, and it has changed dramatically. In the beginning, when we first started, you went to various people for your advice. You went to a insurance agent, you went to a financial advisor, you went to a stockbroker, and you got advice from different people, and you may have worked with two, three, or four people. Today, people are too busy to do that, so now you're really looking, most people are looking for one person to really help them coordinate their advice and be a, you know, help them really work through all the different parts of their financial life. So someone that can help coordinate that planning and make sure that it is impactful is what most people are looking for today.
Okay, we are going to take a short break. Maryland Viewpoints will continue after this.
When it comes to getting health insurance, figuring out where to even begin can be the hardest part. So start here at MarylandHealthConnection.gov. 9 out of 10 people who enrolled through Maryland Health Connection last year got savings. Plus, rates are even lower this year, and there are new options with lower out-of-pocket costs, too. Enrollment ends December 15th, so don't put off getting a health plan. Start here at MarylandHealthConnection.gov. That's MarylandHealthConnection.gov.
If you have uninsured auto fines you owe to the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration, please listen. The Fine Fix program can help eliminate 80% of your fines. 80%. Through a partnership between the MVA and Maryland Auto, FineFix helps Maryland drivers get rid of their uninsured auto fines, get back in good standing, and get the insurance they need. To see if you are eligible, visit finefix.maryland.gov. The FineFix program ends soon, so don't wait. Visit finefix.maryland.gov.
Welcome back to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks. We are chatting with Brian Horn and Brian Gracie of Heritage Financial Consultants, located in Hunt Valley, 307 International Circle, 410-785-0033. What is each of your own investment philosophy?
I think we have a core belief in asset allocation and diversification. You know, that really controls 90% of the risk and the return in a portfolio. I think a lot of people think market timing, security selection, some of these other things really control that, but that's not the case. So we really believe in having a sound asset allocation, using diversification, and then going and trying to hire experts or specialist managers to fill each segment of that allocation.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, I 100% agree. You know, sitting down with the client, understanding how they need to get from point A to point B, how much risk they're willing and able to take, and then building a strategy that helps them give them the best chance of obtaining all those goals are really the key. You know, we talk about a roadmap, a investment policy statement, that's what people call it in our business, but it's really a roadmap on what am I trying to accomplish, what kind of investments should I own, what kind of investments am I not comfortable with owning, and building a plan so that over time you have parameters to look at to make good decisions.
Is there a time crunch where people need to talk to financial advisors before maybe a certain age to ensure that they can retire?
I don't know if there's any specific age, but clearly, you know, time is your friend in the time value of money. You want to get, I think for a lot of people, they have different life events and they're in different places in their life. And every time they go through a life event, whether it's getting married, having children, having kids entering school for college, kids getting out of school, you got to continue to reevaluate your situation over time to make sure that you're looking at all the different things that are out there and making adjustments as needed.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, I think Social Security age and normal retirement age is being pushed back. So at age 50, I think is a crucial age, just if we're picking an age, because you have catch-up opportunities in IRAs, catch-up opportunities in your employer plans, and you still have a 15 or 17-year window if you're retiring at the full Social Security age to, and that's a long enough time horizon for most people to catch up if they're behind.
Mm-hmm. What happens if somebody comes to you and says, I'm stuck? Literally, I'm stuck. I feel very stressed. I don't know what to do. I mean, how do you handle people that have a lot of high anxiety about money, about how to manage their money? Is that something that you kind of talk them down off the ledge a little bit and really guide them? And what are the first steps in doing that?
Well, it is. I'm sure
you've had clients.
During 2008 and 2009, when the markets were having such difficulty, I would go home at night and say I should have majored in philosophy and psychology and not finance and accounting, because you with your money, the two biggest emotions are fear and greed, and fear is a driver behind making a lot of times poor decisions or no decisions in your financial life. So conquering that and having somebody to stand by you and partner with to really explain what is the actual risk here, and is it worth taking, or if you don't take that risk, what is the impact? I think it's very important for an advisor to stand with their client. It's also important to stand by the client when they are trying to do something that is maybe above and beyond what they should be doing, and a lot of times that's greed, where you have to talk them off the ledge to say, it could work, but it might not work, and here's the implications of it not working. So those emotions are unfortunately part of the challenge and part of what working with an advisor is all about. A lot of people have great ideas, but when, you know, Mike Tyson said, you don't really know how the fight's going to go till you get punched in the face and how you're going to react. Same kind of thing in the investment and planning world. When something like that does happen, you hopefully have somebody in your corner. Otherwise, you're going to be on your own.
And sometimes with those people, we'll try to take more of a segmented approach to their money, or so what some people or readers may have seen as a bucket approach, mm-hmm. where money they really need in the next 5 years, we're literally taking almost no risk with that, because that's money they're going to need and use. And maybe money that they don't need for 15 or 20 years until they retire, we're convincing them to try to ignore that bucket of money, because it's going to go up and down and fluctuate, but it's something you're not touching for 20 years. I think a lot of people look at the whole picture together and don't understand that these dollars have different uses and different, you know, time horizons, and you've got to manage around that.
How often do you like to meet with your clients? I mean, what is the process? Are there different, I know there are different plans that you guys offer, but is this something when a client comes on board, is this more of a consistent thing? Do you usually have the same clients for years?
Yes. So in the financial advisory business, if you're signing up to work with a client, I think most of our clients are looking for them to help them over their life, and you know, that's a big responsibility. So we normally try to meet with our clients at least once a year, but most of our clients we're meeting with two times a year, but we're talking to them a lot more than that. But in person, outlining what's going on, and obviously within their accounts, but also what's going on with their life, I think is an ongoing thing that you're part of. As things change in tax laws and administrations and everything else, that is also something, time that you have to sit down and really review the impact with the clients.
Yeah, I would say semi-annuals are probably most prevalent, but we have people that we meet with every quarter. But like Brian says, there's always issues and things coming up that, you know, will have us in contact with clients for various reasons.
This is an important question, because I think this affects a lot of people. You have a high profile client. They're doing very, very well. They have a lot of investments. You've guided them through their career for a number of years. And then the business tanks. And they have to pull from different areas in order to be able to live. And nowadays, you know, I don't know exactly, and maybe you can touch on this with the state of Maryland, with the fees involved with being able to, having to pull that money out so that they can use that. Talk a little bit about, you know, situations that happen like that, because I know that there has to be situations that occur.
Well, I mean, so when you, if you have a business owner client, if you're talking about a person who owns a business, as they're building that business, just like with their investment strategy, I think it's important to get that person to diversify their risk. So if all of their money and assets and income are tied up in that business, we need to make sure that, you know, first of all, for sure they're saving in retirement outside that, and that they're also diversifying some of their assets. So as things go well in their business, they're taking some money out of the business outside of that, and they're protecting themselves on the downside by looking at when they're taking out loans and so forth, that they're not necessarily signing on personally for all of that risk. So there are different things that you can do along the way, hopefully when things are good, that when things don't go well, that they're not, you know, going to have a disaster event that's really going to impact the rest of their family.
Yeah, and I think that's a crucial part of our planning. You know, our planning models out year by year their assets, their income, their tax situation, their estate situation. So the model's built, and then we can really stress test it. Hey, if this happens, if this person loses their job, if your business slows down. So we'll commonly do that if someone's worried that, you know, an event like that could happen. We'll kind of stress test their plan and say, okay, this happens. Here's what we do, and here's how we react.
That's good. You do the what ifs, because you always have to have the what ifs, right?
Yes.
Especially this day and age. We had a listener write in, at what age should we start becoming less aggressive with our 401k choices within the plan and switch to more conservative options?
I don't think there's any actual in stone age, but if you look at some of the vehicles that the companies are providing for retirement now, a lot of the organizations are using these target retirement funds, which are a mixture of investments that are geared towards a particular retirement date. And if you look under the hood really at those investments, they're really growth oriented until you're about 20 years away from retirement. And at 20 years, you would look at most of these investments that move from aggressive to become more conservative over that time frame. Doesn't all happen in 1 year. It happens incrementally over that time frame, but you see the biggest movements in the last 10 years.
Yeah, so that's a great way to do it. And I think, back to my earlier comment, if all your money's in the 401k, then you do have to start, you know, 10 years out, 5 years out, start making adjustments to that allocation. But if you have a lot of money outside the 401k, that may be money you're using the first 5, 6, 7 years of retirement. That now gives you an extra window for that 401k to grow. So then in that scenario, you wouldn't maybe adjust as fast because you have other dollars you're using first and you have a longer window with the 401k money.
The other comment about that, these target retirement plans and your retirement plan in general, one of the things you got to be careful about is you don't manage your money just to the target date that you get to retirement. Because the reality of it is, with life expectancy, you may live 20 or 25 years beyond that, 30 years beyond that. So as a result of that, you have to look at the full time frame that your money will be in there working for you. So you don't want to take all the risk out of the portfolio the day you retire, because you could live another 20 or 30 years. We see a lot of people living into our clients living into the 90s now. And I don't think they planned on being around to their 90s, and they're amazed they're still here, we're glad they're here, but it longevity is an issue.
And final quick question, another listener wrote in that they read that Maryland is the worst state in the U.S. for retirement. Is that true, and what can we do to mitigate this?
I don't know if it's the worst state for retirement, but it's probably pretty far up there. we have a lot of clients that are moving to other states because there's no state income tax or their pensions aren't taxed. So I think, again, that's all part of there's gives and takes to that, because they may not be avoiding income tax on a certain segment, but then picking up other real estate and other taxes. So that's really an analysis we can do for someone, depending on where they're thinking about moving to, to say, here's what you have, here's what you're taxed in Maryland now, you're considering South Carolina, you're considering Florida, and here's how the tax situation would change. It's relatively easy to do.
Maryland, in their defense, is a higher tax state, but it's also one of the healthiest states economically. If you go to a lot of other states around the country, they are not in good financial shape. Maryland is still a very strong fundamental state.
Wonderful. Thank you so much to Brian Horn and Brian Gracie of Heritage Financial Consultants, 307 International Circle, Cockeysville, Maryland, 410-785-0033. Beautiful office that I got to visit and talk with these guys, really good guys. So if you want to chat with them about your financial situation, again, that's 410-785-0033. 0033. This is Maryland Viewpoints, a presentation of the Maryland News Network, heard on radio stations across Maryland. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of radio station ownership, management, or advertisers. Join me again next time for Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks.